your imagination. Close your eyes and fly away to the Nutcracker's magical kingdom, where sugar plum fairies play. That sound I hear? Is that the sound of the sleigh bell? Is that the sound of old man Klaus coming down the chimney? Is that the sound of sack of gift bringing tidings of great peace and joy to all the girl and boys in the United Nations states? It's Christmas time! Ho, ho, ho! And a merry old jolly! Yes, we all... This is the worst intro I've ever done. Welcome back to Deep in Bear Country, a Berenstain Bearcast. I'm your host, Phil Gonzalez, and guess what season it is? It's the holiday season. Happy holidays. And by holidays, I mean Christmas, because there are no Hanukkah books in the Berenstain Bear book universe. It's going for 50 years and more, but they never really touched on Hanukkah. Because the bears are seemingly inherently Christian in Bear Country. But we're not going to talk about that right now, because that's something for a later exploration. Christmas. It's the holiday season, which really means it's Christmas season, because I don't have any Hanukkah books to talk about. Christmas season. What is Christmas? I'm glad you asked, because I have an answer for you. It's about a baby and God and a manger. And it's all about the beginning of the story, right? Like, it's about, like, the cute baby and the presents he gets. It's not about the later part of the story, which involves terrible things that we'll talk about on a different episode. Christmas. You can be a smarty pants, though. Why don't you try this at fun? It's fun at game. And fun games at a party. If you're at a party, especially a Christmas party, and someone brings up Christmas, you can be a super smarty pants by saying, like, well, a lot of the things that you celebrate at Christmas time actually had their origin in, you know, in pagan beliefs. And a lot of the things that you do at Christmas were actually, they got their start well before the Christmas. Yeah, we all know that. We all know that at this point. It feels good to know it for a while, and then it just becomes a thing you know, and then you don't have to, like, bring it up anymore. Christmas is, it's just a wild and wacky time of year. What's funny is if you do a deep dive into Christmas and you also do a deep dive into Halloween, they start, a lot of the stuff starts crossing over, like a lot of the origins and stuff. It turns out, like, going door to door and asking for things, you know, in one culture, that becomes trick-or-treating. In another culture, that becomes caroling. And then eventually those cultures, like, start crossing over and meeting again, and then they're like, oh, this is funny, like, we both do things where we go door to door and ask for things around this time of year when it's cold. And it's kind of like an accepted, like, community thing. Isn't that weird? That, like, that just sort of, like, grew up all by itself. And people are like, that sure is weird. Funny how the world works, never thinking that, like, maybe there's some, like, similar origins there. Someone else who's not me, do a deep dive for me and do an episode of whatever podcast you have about the history of caroling versus the history of trick-or-treating. And I don't know, is there a Thanksgiving one in there somewhere? I do believe that trick-or-treating used to be more of a Thanksgiving thing, if I remember my trick-or-treat history. But maybe that was wassailing. I don't remember. Or maybe wassailing and trick-or-treating were the same thing at some point. When did you egg houses? Were you ever, like, was egging houses ever, like, not? I don't know. In any case, Christmas time, Santa Man and the falling tinsel, kissing under the mistletoe and drinking the eggnog. It's all about Christmas time. And this week's book is all about Christmas time. It is the Berenstain Bears and, drum roll, The Berenstain Bears and the Nutcracker from 2011 by Jan and Mike Berenstain. Oh my goodness, what are we doing in 2011? Why are we jumping ahead so much? We are jumping ahead so much because there's really not a whole lot of Christmas stuff between where we are in the timeline and this. Like, there's other Christmas stuff, but I didn't want to delve into some of the more religious-y things yet. So we're just sticking with the secularism right now. The Berenstain Bears and the Nutcracker. This is Jan and Mike Berenstain. And oh boy, is it ever a Jan and Mike Berenstain book. It looks completely unlike the books that we've been covering. This has Mike's hand all over it. It's a beautiful book. It is very colorful. The pages are extraordinarily detailed. They show a lot of love for the subject matter and a lot of love for the characters. This is a dynamite little book. It doesn't have much of a story. It's a little thin on story, but that's not what this is about now, is it? This is about celebrating the season, celebrating the holiday, and it's about the Nutcracker. It's really about the Nutcracker. It's not so much about the bears in this time around. It's about celebrating that man who bites the nuts and cracks them with his teeth. That's our Nutcracker man, our little wooden soldier boy, our baby in a manger who comes out once a year to crack nuts around the fire and behead rat monsters. It's the Nutcracker. But what is the Nutcracker? And so, okay, in case you are wondering. So these books, these Christmas books, they all kind of cover different aspects of the season. So what I want to do is I want to do a little bit of a look-see, a little bit of a poke around at the topics they're covering, and then see how the bears handle those topics, and see how the Berenstains handle the topics. The Nutcracker is a nice soft one because it's not religious. There's not a big feelings tied up with the Nutcracker, but they're not sacred feelings. So I mean, you can have very, very strong feelings about the Nutcracker if you want to, but they're not preaching it from the pulpit. Okay, like this is not. Like Moses didn't drop a tablet that had like the story of the Nutcracker written on it. That's what Moses did with the tablets, right? He like dropped one and then that was how Christmas happened. I don't know. And anyway, the Nutcracker. Let's go back in time, shall we, to the late 18th, early 19th century in a little known place called Germany, or whatever Germany was at the time. Ooh, here we go. We're going to talk about a little man named E.T.A. Hoffman. Who was E.T.A. Hoffman? E.T.A. Hoffman was a guy who, okay, so a lot of times we're given a choice in life. Like, you get to a point in your life and you're like, all right, I really need to focus on something. I can be a short story writer. Or a short story writer, or a novelist, or I can be, and at some point if I'm gonna be a writer, I'm gonna focus. Do I want to write fantasy? Do I want to write horror? Do I want to write mysteries? Do I want to write romances? Or maybe I don't want to even go into writing. Maybe I want to be a musician. Maybe I want to be a composer. And if I'm gonna be a composer, what do I want to focus on? Do I want to focus on like popular music? Or maybe I can write operas. Or maybe I just want to write the librettos for operas. Or maybe I want to write stories to entertain children. Or maybe I'd rather work on my sketches. Maybe I want to be a graphic artist or a caricaturist or even like a law expert, what used to be called a juror. Maybe I want to do that with my life. What E.T.A. Hoffman did was all of it. He did all of it. He was this like man who knew how to do a lot of things. And he was really good at everything he did, including the ladies. I assume he was good with the ladies because he died of syphilis at a very young age. And I guess, I'm not saying that, but okay, he had syphilis. So, I mean, he did something at some point. I'm not saying that he was, maybe he wasn't even good at it, but he died of syphilis when he was like 40 something. But he was so young. This is a guy who wrote fantasy stories that have stood the test of time. Three of his stories have been turned into ballets that are still performed today, all right? The guy wrote horror stories that influenced writers for years. So many of the classic horror writers of the early 20th century, including like in late 19th century, including like Edgar Allan Poe and H.P. Lovecraft, they all cite E.T.A. Hoffman as like one of their inspirations. But he also inspired the creation of the first mystery novels. He basically single-handedly created the consulting detective genre. He also dabbled in a brand new genre called science fiction. At around the same time Mary Shelley was writing Frankenstein, he was writing stories about automatons that regained consciousness, when people weren't really writing about automatons that gained consciousness. Just dabbling in it here and there. He also wrote operas. He just wrote operas and classical music and just sort of energy. He just did everything. The guy just did everything, and then he keeled over from syphilis, just because what else was there left to do? What else was... Oh, yeah, he drew. He drew very well caricatures that got him in trouble, like politically in trouble, because late 18th, early 19th century, there's a lot of stuff going on. Prussia, that's where he was. Prussia. That was kind of his stamping grounds. So E.T.A. Hoffmann did a lot of things. And if you just read about his life, it's just, he was just all over the place. Loved women, loved moving around, loved getting in trouble. But he wrote a little story called The Nutcracker and the Mouse King. Now, The Nutcracker and the Mouse King, he wrote it in German. It was eventually adapted by a little man you may know called Alexandre Dumas, who stole it, basically. He stole the story and told his own version of it. But it was originally an ETA, completely written by E.T.A. Hoffmann. And that version was then adapted into a famous ballet called The Nutcracker that we all know and love. But what is The Nutcracker? Okay, so step back a little bit even further. This is a nested episode. I got a lot to cover in this. So, The Nutcracker. What is The Nutcracker about? The Nutcracker and the Mouse King. What is it about? You may think you know the story of the Nutcracker, but if you haven't read The Nutcracker and the Mouse King, you don't know the Nutcracker. It is bazonkers. It's a buck wild little story. I read it to Mitzi a few years ago, and it was just amazing. First of all, people always say, you know, it's a short story, or you know, like it's a tale. But this is a book. It's a solid book, divided into sections, divided into chapters. It takes a while to read it. You don't just zip through the Nutcracker, right? You got to focus on it because it has nested tales. It has flashbacks and flash forwards and trips to other realms. It goes places. And if you're only familiar with the ballet, you may not be aware that there's weirdness at the... You may be like, I saw the ballet. I've seen it a million times. And it is weird at that point where, like, the mouse king comes in with the heads. But other than that, it's pretty straightforward. Little fantasy. What else is there? Oh, boy, what else is there? So, The Nutcracker. Come with me into the world of story and let me tell you the tale of the Nutcracker as succinctly as I can because it goes places. Okay. The Nutcracker is about a little girl named... Wow, I'm already off to a bad start because the little girl has two names. You either know her as one name or the other. In the original book, her name is Marie. You may know her as Clara. Clara is actually the name of Marie's doll in the book. But they call her Clara in, like, the ballet for some reason. Why would you even change that? I have no idea. Marie is a very common name. In any case, Marie's family is having a Christmas party. And she has, like, a brother and a sister. And to the Christmas party shows up the godfather, Uncle Drosselmeyer. Old man Drosselmeyer. And he's a toy inventor. And he comes bearing all these kind of crazy toys. The kids get bored of his like, wacky mechanical toys because they just do the same thing over and over again. He gives the kids a nutcracker. And he's like, here's a nutcracker. And, of course, it has a big mouth and a beard and everything. And the kids are like, yay, it cracks nuts. And the brother breaks it. And Marie has grown, like, really attached to the Nutcracker, like, for reasons that they don't really... But she just loves this Nutcracker. And they go a lot into detail, like, all the toys, the kid... Like, the brother has all these soldiers, and Marie has all these dolls. And they have them in this, like, toy cabinet. In any case, the Nutcracker gets broken. Drosselmeyer fixes it. And Marie, like, puts it to bed, like, in her little toy cabinet, the cabinet where they keep all the toys. That night she gets up because there's a ruckus and there are mice everywhere. And there is this disgusting, like, three-headed or seven-headed, I think, in the book, a mouse king with, like, all these crowns. And the toys all start fighting the mouse king, and the Nutcracker, like, comes to life and starts fighting the mouse king. And Marie tries to help. She throws her shoe at the mouse king, and then she gets knocked into the toy cabinet, which is made of glass, and it, like, slices her arm to pieces, like, to ribbons, like, just lacerates her arm, and she loses a lot of blood and she passes out. This is kind of where it diverges from the ballet, if you haven't caught on yet. So she passes out from blood loss. When she finally comes to, she's very sick from blood loss and from shock, and she's confined to bed. So her Drosselmeyer shows up, and he's like, while you're in bed, I may as well tell you the story about, maybe kind of explain to you what was going on with all the mice and your Nutcracker coming to life. And that's when he tells her the story of, dun dun dun, the hard nut, or they call it something else. They don't call it the hard nut in the original German, but it's basically the hard nut. So what happened is, okay, bear in mind, this is where the story gets complicated because there's, like, a bunch of different characters all named Drosselmeyer, and there's a bunch of queens and kings But okay, so long story short, there was a king and a queen, and their castle was overrun by mice. So they had this inventor named Drosselmeyer, not the Drosselmeyer that we just met, a different Drosselmeyer. And they're like, hey, Drosselmeyer, invent the a bunch of mouse traps. And so he does and kills a bunch of mice. And the queen of the mice, it gets all ticked off because they just killed a bunch of her kids. So she puts a curse on the princess, whose name is Pearly Pat. Princess Pearly Pat. She curses her, and Pearly Pat turns into a disgusting nutcracker face. Like, she gets like this hideous nutcracker face. And everyone's like, oh no, the Pearly Pat is all ugly. How are we going to do this? Drosselmeyer and this other guy figure out that in order to break the curse on Princess Pearly Plat, they have to travel, they have to find the hard nut. Which is like the hardest nut in the world, and bring it back to her, and then she can crack it with her nutcracker face, and it'll cure her. Oh, but also, the nut can only be given to her by, like, a virgin guy who's never shaved, and also, he has to, like, hand it to her and then walk backwards. It's this really weird spell. In any case, Drosselmeyer and the other guy, not the original, the Drosselmeyer from this part of the story, go around the world. They travel the world searching for this nut. They can't find it. Finally, they figure out where it is, and turns out it was in their hometown. It was just in the hometown. It's in the possession of this other guy named Drosselmeyer. Not the other Drosselmeyer, but this other Drosselmeyer. And they find out that Drosselmeyer's son, who is also named Drosselmeyer, I think is how it works, is the only one who can give it to her because he's a virgin and beard and he can walk backwards and stuff. So he presents the nut to the princess, Pearly Plat, and he's also whoever can cure the Princess Pearly Plat will get her hand in marriage. So he gives her the nut, she cracks the nut with her face, and ba-bam, she turns back into a beautiful young girl. But remember, part of the spell is that the person who gives her the hard nut has to walk backwards for some reason, so he does. And he steps on the Mouse Queen's tail, because she's there, and she's like, ouch, my tail. And so she curses young Drosselmeyer and turns him into a nutcracker. And that is how the nutcracker became. That's a long story. So now we're back into the present. And Marie is like, that's a great story, Uncle Drosselmeyer. And then late at night, she starts hearing the mice. Then they're all, give us sweets or we'll destroy your toys. So she gives, like, she keeps giving the mice, like, all this food. It just goes on for a while. And finally, the Mouse King is like, I'm tired of all these sweets. I'm sick and tired of it. I'm going to tear the Nutcracker apart. And she's like, you know what? I am just done with this. So Nutcracker, you need to defeat the Mouse King. And the Nutcracker's like, I can do it, but I need a sword. So she gets a sword from one of her brother's toys, and the Nutcracker fights the Mouse King, and he defeats the Mouse King. At some point, the Mouse King or the Queen died. Like, in any case, she defeats the Mouse King. He defeats the Mouse King. And he's like, thank you so much, Marie. Come on my sleigh. And he takes her to the land of dolls. And she just sees all these dolls in the doll world. And then she comes back. And everyone's like, that didn't happen. You just lied about everything. That's weird. What a weird story you told us. And don't talk about this anymore. And so she's like sad. And she's, there's a lot of ending to this story. It goes on for a while. And she's all sad, and she's like, ah, shucks. I wish that the Nutcracker was real or something. And then she's like, I love him. And then, boom, Drosselmeyer's nephew shows up, and it turns out it's really the Nutcracker. And she broke the curse, and she marries him, and then they go away to the doll kingdom, and she becomes queen of the dolls or something like that. It's complicated, and it goes on for a while. It's a charming little tale, but that's the Nutcracker and the Mouse King. And so this story came out, and people were like, oh, that was pretty good, ETA Hoffman. Thanks for writing this weird story. You wrote a bunch of other stuff too, and you do a lot of other things, so this will just be one notch in your writing belt. Sorry about the syphilis. So cut to later on, and like in history, not like in the story. Cut to later on in history, and there's this guy, and his name is Tchaikovsky. Pyotr Ilyich Tchaikovsky. Tchaikovsky, you may have heard of him. Famous guy. So Tchaikovsky has already written this great, like, he's a composer, And he's already written this great ballet based on Sleeping Beauty. And his producer is like, hey, Tchaikovsky, I want you to write another play, like another ballet for me. It's going to be on a double bill with your opera, Iolanta. I don't know how to say it. I'm not, whatever. So he's like, shoot it at me. What do you got? And then the producer's like, I want you to adapt this story by Alexandre Dumas called The Nutcracker. It's stolen from another guy, but just pretend. It's based on, just read the story and then write a ballet about it. And he's like, all right. So he reads it and he works with the, you know, like they collaborate and they write this ballet. And it's a full-length ballet. It's not super long, but it's, you know, it's a good evenings of entertainment. And Tchaikovsky's not really into it, right? Like, he's doing it to work for hire. He's been hired to do this. He does a good job, like, but he's not, like, this isn't his passion. But he's like, all right, it's for a season. You know, it's an evening's entertainment. It's kind of a children's show, whatever. And even, like, he went on record, like, saying, like, he wasn't really, like, thrilled with the music he wrote for The Nutcracker. He thought it was fine. I think later in life, he was like, yeah, I wrote a bop or two. That was pretty good. But in any case, they put on The Nutcracker. Now, bear in mind, The Nutcracker, while not super long, is still a good evenings of entertainment. And it was second on the bill after an opera. So people were like, let's go to the theater. And then it's like 11. And then they're like, thank you so much for coming to the theater. Now for a whole ballet. And so people watched it and then they were like, that wasn't very good. And it bombed. Like, it bombed majorly. Like, the critics were savage about the original production of the Nutcracker. They were like, the music is bad, the dancing is terrible, the leads can't dance, the Sugar Plum Fairy is ugly and can't dance and is boring. The music is boring and it's friggity fracking midnight, and I'm watching a ballet about a magical nutcracker, and I just want to go home. Bombed. It just bombed. And so Tchaikovsky was like, "Oh, beans," and he was like, "Well, whatever." And I got paid my money. And what he does though is he takes the music from the Nutcracker, the stuff that he really liked the most, and he pushes it all together. He does what classical music composers call mushing it together. He mushes them together, and he creates a piece of music called the Nutcracker Suite. And for many, many years, the way people knew the Nutcracker was through the Nutcracker Suite, just this collection of music from the ballet that he had sort of like dilly-dallied and shimmy-shammied with and turned into just a nice listen around. So and people were like, I wonder why it's called the Nutcracker. I don't care. I just listen to music and go to the theater and listen to music at the theater. And while the Nutcracker every once in a while would be done by ballets, it wasn't a sensation. Like, it was just like they'd be like, oh, what if we haven't done this ballet yet? Let's just mount a production of what's this? A Nutcracker? Sure, we'll do that. And for many, 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 many decades, that's kind of where the Nutcracker was. This random forgotten ballet. It was so forgotten that when Walt Disney did Fantasia and did the whole animated sequence of based, you know, using the music from the Nutcracker Suite, the introduction to it done by the guy, and if you really want a little history of Fantasia, listen to my other podcast, It's Del Toro Time, where we cover in one episode Disney's Fantasia. He basically says, the next music you're going to hear is from Tchaikovsky's The Nutcracker Suite. What many people don't know is that the Nutcracker is actually, the music from the Nutcracker Suite is actually from a ballet called The Nutcracker. It's about a nutcracker. It doesn't get performed much anymore, so you probably, and I was like, oh, wow, like, seriously? Like, if you watch the Fantasia, people just didn't know about the Nutcracker. Like, at that point, people didn't know what the Nutcracker was. Like, it was just this it was just really just not in the popular consciousness. It wasn't until George Balanchine staged a production of it for New York City Ballet that it got this new life. Like, it was just this really big deal. It was 1954, and George Balanchine, and if you don't know who George Balanchine is, he was and is considered like one of the greatest ballet choreographers of all time. Great dancer. He sort of like revolutionized modern ballet. And this production was huge and successful. And people were like, this is amazing. What a fun show. And from that moment on, it became a staple of ballet companies. like a staple of ballet companies. And to the point where most, I think most ballet companies say that it accounts, like productions of the Nutcracker keep the lights on. So if you're ever wondering why so many ballet companies do the Nutcracker and you roll, it's for the same reason that so many theater companies do A Christmas Carol, because it keeps the lights on. It's not necessarily because everyone wants to like do it. It's because people want to see it. You can put a lot of kids in it. You can put a lot of costumes in it. And a lot of people will come because they know it and it's non-threatening. Which is funny because, like, A, the novel is pretty threatening. And B, A Christmas Carol is fairly threatening as well. It's got ghosts and like, death and stuff. And so does The Nutcracker. Like, literally, like, it's got death and stuff. But in any case, that's a little history of the Nutcracker. The ballet's plot is similar to the book, except it cuts out the whole middle. Clara, when she throws her shoe, and Maria's changed to Clara, she throws her shoe at the Mouse King to distract him, and that's when the Nutcracker stabs him. He takes her on a tour, not of the land of dolls, but of the land of sweets, and they go from country to country and see the candy people. And here's like they do that, and then they come home and she's all thanks and he's all, and then it's over and I think everyone's happy after that. Like, there's really not a whole lot to the middle of the Nutcracker except just getting to watch a bunch of people do some pretty cool dancing. So that's the Nutcracker. Since then, it has been adapted into, there's been modern adaptations. If you have a chance, get online, hop online, see if you can find a video of Mark Morris. Mark Morris's The Hard Nut, which was from the 90s. It was this modern adaptation of The Nutcracker that actually adhered closer to the original story. It actually told the story of The Hard Nut in the middle without using Tchaikovsky's music, but re-choreographing with set design and set inspiration by cartoonist Charles Burns, which is really creepy and very 50s. And it's just, it's a super cool, they used to show it on PBS a lot. The Hard Nut, if you get a chance, take a look at it. Otherwise, there's been a, you know, like a ton of movies of it. It's been used in movies. There were feature films. There's been stop motion films. There's been Japanese films. The Care Bears did a movie of it. The Nutcracker Prince was turned into an animated movie in 1990, which is, if you ever get a chance to see The Nutcracker Prince, it was Warner Brothers' feature film. Just one of the most absolutely terrible looking animated films. It's like they tried to copy Disney style, but they didn't have the money or the time or the talent. It's so bad looking in places. Barbie did a movie called Barbie and the Nutcracker, 2001. And Tom and Jerry did an adaptation of it. There was a movie of the ballet with Macaulay Culkin in it, if you can believe that. And the Nutcracker in 3D, which was a nightmarish horror film that turned it into some sort of Nazi parable. Elle Fanning was in it. It was just the critics absolutely hated it. And now there's a new Disney movie coming out, or it's out, called The Nutcracker in the Four Realms, which they're trying to pull like a Alice in Wonderland, like, oh, it's the sequel. Well, she has a destiny and there's probably a magical sword, or I don't know. In any case, there's so many different versions of The Nutcracker. It has been done to death. But there's also these bears. The Berenstain Bears and the Nutcracker by Jan and Mike Berenstain does not retell the story of the Nutcracker. Oh, it does. It actually does. It does it twice, strangely enough. But it's mostly about, well, let's see what it's about. And like I said, even though it's Mike's illustrations, and so the bears look different, and you can tell that it's not, Stan and Jan illustrations, just because the way their faces work, and the bears, they just have longer faces. Beautifully, lavishly illustrated and colored. Just a gorgeous-looking book. I actually really like this book. The basic plot is, it's Christmas morning, and the kids are opening their presents. Brother gets a Space Grizzlies video game. Sister Bear gets Barbie's Amazing Adventure DVD, and Honey Bear gets a battery-powered horse. And they play with their gifts, and they all love their gifts, but there's one other gift for everyone, and it is a toy nutcracker. And thus follows a beautiful two-page spread that retells the story of the ballet of the nutcracker, which the bears have seen on television. And they sum it up like this. The Nutcracker is about a young cub named Clara who gets a nutcracker for Christmas from her weird old godfather. She dreams the nutcracker comes to life and fights the Mouse King. He becomes a handsome prince and takes Clara to his magical kingdom where they dance with snowflakes and the sugar plum fairy. Clara wakes up and the prince turns back into a nutcracker. Is that how it works? Does he turn back into the nutcracker? Who cares? In any case, it's gorgeous two-page spread of just illustrating the story. And they crack nuts with the Nutcracker, and then they start playing their games. Brother Bear plays his video games, Sister Bear watches her movie, but eventually Brother gets sick and tired of playing video games. Ugh, video games, am I right? Kids, if this is one thing this book gets right, it's that if there's one thing kids can't do, it's play video games all day. Sister does get sick of the Barbie video, which she watches over and over again until she's done with it. And Honey Bear breaks her horse. So that's great, honey. They get so bored that Papa's like, why don't you just go use your imagination? Go up to the attic. Leave us alone. And they're like, the attic, we can dress up as stuff and have fun and play games. We can be pirates or cowboys or knights or whatever. And Sister's like, yeah, or we could pretend to be nutcracker men, the nutcracker people. And they're like, hey, yeah. So they go up to the attic and they dress up like their favorite characters in the Nutcracker. And they act out the story, like the story of the Nutcracker. They're just having so much fun. Brother Bear dresses up like Drosselmeyer, gives the Nutcracker to a sister who's dressed up as Clara. Honey Bear breaks the Nutcracker. They pretend that the Christmas tree grows. And what's really cute is that Sister Bear is in Brother Bear's old crib from the Berenstain Bear's new baby. It's cute. They even do like Drosselmeyer on top of the clock, which happens in the ballet. The mice attack. The Nutcracker fights with the Mouse King, and Sister Bear throws the shoe. He turns into a prince. They go to the land of snow. They see the dancing snowflakes, which happens. They go to the land of sweets. They see the dancing sweets, which happens. And then their grandparents show up and are like, what were you guys doing? And the cubs are like, we were playing the Nutcracker. And Grizzly, Gramps, and Gran were like, how'd you do that without, you know, costumes or sets or anything? And they're like, we used our imagination. And then they do it again. They perform the whole Nutcracker again for the, I mean, they don't spell it out for the reader. But the Nutcracker gets performed again for Grizzly, Gramps, and Gran. And that's the story. That's the Berenstain Bears and the Nutcracker. It's literally the Berenstain Bears and the Nutcracker. Like, it's not about them interacting with a Nutcracker. It's about the Berenstain Bears and their relationship to the ballet of the Nutcracker. Now, this is an interesting Christmas book because it takes a very specific aspect of Christmas, that being the ballet of the Nutcracker, and sort of forms a whole story around it. Now, obviously, we don't know who wrote the Nutcracker in Bear World. We don't know if the ballet was based on E.T.A., I don't know, Bearman's book. We don't know if the ballet was based on Alec Bear. Do Bears. This is ripoff of it. But we don't even know if Piotr Tchaikovsky wrote it. We don't know anything about that. We don't know the background. I assume that he did. But we do know that the Nutcracker is a huge part of Bear Country's Christmas tradition. So we know a few things from this. We know that there is most likely a bear equivalent of Germany and Prussia, that there was a bear at some point writing Gothic horror back in the late 18th century, early 19th century. We know that ballet is like, I mean, we've known that ballet is like a big thing, but we know that it really permeates the culture in Bear Country as it does in our world. And we know that nutcrackers are a thing, like the bears that have an actual physical nutcracker. I don't know of many books, Christmas books, like specific Christmas books, that focus on the Nutcracker as a cultural phenomenon. This takes the time to celebrate that. And I find that really charming. I find it kind of cool that that Mike and Jan, whoever's idea it was, they zagged a little bit when it came to Christmas books. When it came to doing something, how do you do a Christmas book that doesn't involve your typical, like, oh, we got to trim the tree, or what will I get for mama? Or like, I hope I've been good enough for Santa Bear. What do you do with the story that hasn't been done before? And the answer to this seemingly is you just talk about the Nutcracker. Now, what's interesting about this is one of the, and you'll see this, we see this a lot more as we go along with the Mike era, which is you will see a lot more adaptations of stories, not just biblical stories, but other stories in Mike's, you know, like once Mike takes over, you're going to see this a little bit more often. And I don't know if that's because that's what he was interested in, or if that's what the publisher was demanding. Like, we know that was like, people see like the Berenstain Bears Save Christmas and they're like, I don't know how interested I am in these bears. But if they see the Berenstain Bears and the Nutcracker, that's something they can identify with. That's something where they can go, I know what this story is. I know what to expect. It's a retelling of something that I'm familiar with. I'm just curious to see how they do it. And does he ever do it? I can't oversell how colorful and delightful these illustrations are. As we all know, Mike he has a real attention to detail. He loves drawing things. And this book is filled with things, from the table and chairs to the baubles on the Christmas tree to the gift wrapping on the floor to their flat screen television to all the costumes they're wearing in their imaginations to Drosselmeyer's eye patch to the Nutcracker to the snow scene, the scene with the dancing bears as the snowflakes in the ballet, and the sleigh, the open sleigh being pulled by reindeer through the snow. Mike just has this. He has an eye for detail. I know I sometimes harp on Mike, especially his earlier stuff, for being a little stiff. This is not stiff at all. This is a beautiful book. It flows really well. My only complaint, if I had any complaint about this book, it's that it's thin on plot. It's pretty thin on plot and character. The more these books kind of have to like be short and succinct and just sort of about a thing, the less character development we get. So brother and sister, beyond the fact that brother likes video games, sister likes Barbie, it just isn't a whole lot hot else there. And as usual, just Honey Bear is just kind of there. She's just kind of there. She's obviously able to walk and intelligent enough to understand directions, but I don't know what else she's doing in this book. She's just kind of present. And she hasn't earned her place in my heart yet. I'll tell you that, Honey Bear. I'll be a little more giving for Christmas. Maybe a Christmas miracle. I'll grow to love Honey Bear. But we haven't even been introduced to her in this show yet. So just you guys wait. One day we'll circle back around to Honey Bear's entrance into the world of the Berenstain Bears. As far as like an adaptation of the Nutcracker is it's a simple story. It's a really simple story. So there's not a whole lot else to say about it that the bears can't cover. They do a good job. This is a solid little Christmas book. And fortunately for you, it is readily available. You can find copies of The Berenstain Bears and the Nutcracker for sale wherever you buy, wherever you order books. I'm sure you may not find it on the shelves, but it's out there. It's not a Living Lights book. It's not a religious book. So it's one of their mainstreamy ones. Or you can find it as a digital book. That's how I own it. I own it as a digital book because sometimes I like the Berenstain Bears digital books when they're done well in ways that preserve the original layout. When that preserves the original layout, you get these seamless two-page spreads that are just delightful. I really love these two-page spreads. So check it out. The Berenstain Bears and the Nutcracker from 2011 by Jan and Mike Berenstain. This is the beginning of this year's Christmas coverage. I will be covering more Christmas Berenstain Bears stuff in the next couple of weeks. We only have a few weeks because then Christmas is here and I'm touching it after that. So get it while the getting's good. If you want to find me online, you can find me at berenstainbearcast.wordpress.com or go over to Twitter. I'm at bstainbearcast. But the big place you can go for me is to patreon.com/deepinbearcountry, where I will gladly accept your Patreon dollars. I have a thing that I'm working on for Deep in Bear Country right now that's coming up next year, a big deep in Bear Country project I'm working on that may require a little bit of funding. So if you're interested in throwing a few dollars my way, I would really appreciate it. I'll go into more detail about it in the new year as work on it progresses. But until then, I'm Phil Gonzalez. Thank you so much for listening to this show about the Berenstain Bears. It's so weird that I'm doing a show, but sometimes you just sit and I'm like, I just can't. I've been doing this for a long time. I'm coming up on four years of this. 4 years of talking about the Berenstain Bears. That's so weird. Why? Is it really four? Yep. It's really four. I'm coming up on 4 years. Oh, bless my soul. In any case, thank you so much for listening, and I will see you all next week deep in Bear Country.